Well, I'm in the kitchen, just getting ready to make some dinner. I got some sausage frying in the pan, and I'm getting some peppers chopped up and ready. I'm going to have sausage and peppers. And don't worry, I'm not going to give you recipes and do a cooking show. I'm just going to do this podcast while I am making dinner, because it seems appropriate. Just got back from the lake, and got up early this morning, got back from the lake, decided to take a little nap. Now back on the Bob Davis podcast schedules. It's about 9:30, 9 o'clock p.m. Having a little dinner, going to make some coffee, and we're going to do a podcast. And the reason I'm going to do a sort of a freewheeling talk podcast, and these are, as you know, not easy for me while I'm doing what I'm doing. So it's hard for me to kind of focus and chop up peppers and not cut my finger and make coffee and everything, and also be cogent and have something in terms of content that fits together for people. But it's a good opportunity to talk about the crazy day-to-day stories and the happenings of the current time frame, where it isn't, we're not avoiding the elephant in the room, which at this time is the street violence that's been going on. And that's what it is, which is being portrayed as protests. This isn't to say that all the people in the street aren't honest protesters, but I find that increasingly difficult to believe. I'm not taking a position on whether one candidate is better than the other, or whether one candidate has a better idea in terms of how to deal with it, or will deal it, or caused it, or didn't cause it, or any of that. What I want to talk about is just the impact of all this stuff as we continue down this road of delirium in America, seemingly. So having a nice little dinner and maybe sitting out on the deck here after I get finished cooking it, to talk about stuff will be helpful, and it will work. So we're going to do that in podcast 951, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Yeah, so as I get the dinner ready, I just should remind everybody that I am going to talk about how things are changing. And I got to tell you, it's very interesting to me, because obviously I have a lot of friends doing many, many different things right now, living in a different way than they lived just 3 months ago. And we talk all about pivots and things of that nature. But I hear people saying to me, boy, I wish I could find some kind of business that dot, dot, dot. And I have that feeling sometimes. I mean, I chose podcasting as a way to be in business, and I love to podcast. It's a tough row to hoe in terms of revenue for most independent podcasters, but it's very rewarding personally and creatively. But a lot, I hear people saying, gee, maybe I should buy a storage facility or whatever. And one of the things people often overlooked is the possibilities of starting a business that involves investment properties. This is rental properties. And if you want to look into that, I'm going to give you the name of someone who can really, really help you. And that is Brenda O'Connell at Auntie B Rentals. What does she do? First of all, here's her number. Just put this aside. 651-600-7655. Brenda seeks to help people with investment properties. She knows her business. She knows how to find properties, crunch out the numbers, determine whether value is there, find you a house, find and service tenants, give property owners peace of mind. You've heard Brenda on with me talking about the real estate markets as well as situations with tenants. And I will tell you, the other thing that she does and does very well is she is great at finding great tenants, and she's great at servicing those tenants, solving problems, and making everything copacetic. And I got to tell you, both as a renter and an owner, that is extremely important when you are renting properties, is having someone around that can do that. So here's how you find Brenda O'Connell. First, auntiebrentals.com. It's just simple, auntiebrentals, A-U-N-T-I-B-R-E-N-T-A-L-S. bobdavispodcast.com. Click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com, or call her at 651-600-7655. That's 651-600-7655. She works with Realty One Group Choice. That's the real estate piece. She can find the properties, and no one is going to work harder. Brenda O'Connell at Auntie B Rentals. Also going to talk about Minneapolis a little bit in this podcast and some of the things recently that have happened in some of the cities, Kenosha, Minneapolis, and so forth. And so I want to get a shout out to my guys at 36 Lynn, which is in the Lynn Lake neighborhood of Minneapolis. This is a community-focused, independently operated refueling station, and it's at 36 Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood, as I said, in Minneapolis. And they are into the community. Not only do they desire to help the community, they actually do help the community with all kinds of events. So if you get the chance, swing by 36 Lynn. They have a great selection of community-based, locally sourced food products in the store, and they have great coffee. So you can check out 36 Lynn. And remember, they also have great events. You can check them out online at 36lynn.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. And very quickly, thanks to DepoStar for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast all these years. DepoStar is American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit them online at depostar.com. Well, let me set the stage. First of all, we're at that little cusp that happens every year between August and between summer and fall. And the cusp is usually marked by the Minnesota State Fair, which we did not have this year. And for you people that don't live in Minnesota, if you live south of the upper Midwest, so if you live anywhere south of Illinois or Indiana, out east, west of the Platte River, up in North and South Dakota or Missouri or any of those places west of the upper Midwest. But if you live in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, and northern Ohio, all the way over to maybe Cleveland and North Dakota, eastern North Dakota and eastern South Dakota, and Iowa, you know exactly what I'm talking about, especially if you are close to the land and especially if you have relatives that are close to the land, as in farmers, let's say. So I've just come back from the lake, and I couldn't believe, and still can't believe, I've been up at the lake a couple of times, which when I say up at the lake, it's really over in Wisconsin, about the same longitude as Minneapolis and St. Paul. So it's really not up, it's over. But the fields are incredible. And we were standing on the porch this weekend looking at the fields, just looking at how incredible everything looks this year. The beans, the corn, just looking at all of the crops and the sky and smelling the air and seeing that summer is ending. And usually the line of demarcation for us is the state fair. So the Minnesota State Fair is, I believe, the second largest state fair in the country. Texas is the first. And every year in Minnesota, the state fair is usually the last 10 days of August. And it usually includes, I believe, Labor Day weekend. And then after that, you'd go back to school, right? And if you were a kid, the fair was this last hurrah that you had. And then, I've often told the story about how my mom would take me to Sears and I'd buy my jeans and my new shirts. They were always these pullover shirts. Sometimes they were somewhat stylish. As I got older, I tried to, get more stylish shirts or whatever. But everything was new. And so it has that out of the box kind of itchy feel to it. And the final week before Labor Day, all the humidity leaves the air and it cools off. So you go from this humid 95 degree summer Midwestern heat to 85, maybe 80 during the day, 55 at night, and there's no humidity. It's just gone. And usually what takes the humidity out of the air are these rolling storms that come through in late August. And when they're done, there's no humidity anymore. And hang on, I gotta get something here. So with the humidity gone, then you go back to school. And of course, the first day of school, invariably, someone was saying this to me this weekend. Yeah, the humidity's got out of the air. The days are shorter and cooler, and it's wonderful. But wait, it's going to get hot again, because it will get hot again in September. And for us, that meant you'd go to school and you'd be sitting in those classrooms with your itchy clothes and looking out the windows, which would usually be open. In the schools I went to, the windows did open, and they would be open because the heat would be on. And it was 85, 90 degrees in the classroom. You're sweating in your brand new clothes and looking out over the, you know, schoolyards, and or the compound or whatever you went to school, what kind of a place you went to school at. And you're looking at that and you're sort of pining away for summer, because it's this torturous heat now because you went back to school. And of course, summer's obviously not over. So get ready. You'll have a couple of weeks in the upper Midwest of searingly hot temperatures and a little bit less humidity, but it will still be summer again in about a week. You can depend on it. We're just close to the Labor Day weekend, and we're just at the beginning of we're on a waxing moon, almost full. So it is a beautiful, beautiful time of year for us in the upper Midwest. And of course, the entire country is focused right now on this situation with rioting in various parts of the country. And the efforts of the president to turn this in his favor. And I'm not picking a winner. I don't have a favorite. I don't like either of them. And I'm not going to get into details as to why I don't. Suffice it to say, because in two previous podcasts, I talked about the wilderness and a political realignment in one, and then I did one on the polls. And I think it's clear I don't have a favorite, and it's because I just don't think either of them is forward enough thinking or looking to really command the resources or to husband the resources, so to speak, to take the United States in really fully into the 21st century. It feels to me like we're still back in the 1990s or 80s even, and that's not a real good feeling. But we're at this point again where everything feels like it's hanging by a thread. A friend of mine went to a job interview, and they asked her recently, where do you think you're going to be in 5 years? And we were talking about that question. And I said, I don't think anybody knows where they're going to be in 5 years. If I were to ask you, and you should think about that while I'm talking, where are you going to be in 5 years? If you have a firm answer, maybe you want to check yourself, because I know where I want to be in 5 years, but I don't think anybody in this country could tell you with any degree of confidence where they or the country, if they're in business for themselves, where their business will be. If they're working for a corporation, where that corporation will be in 5 years. And what you end up doing is thinking about what you have to do to keep it together and what you have to do to thrive in the current time frame. And things are changing literally as I'm speaking. The real estate markets are changing, especially in places like New York. There's clearly a sense that we are moving away from what would be interpreted as sort of this urban paradise environment where there's a coffee store and a great restaurant down the street and a bike store, and everybody's, you know, kind of living in an urban environment, and it's great, and all that has been literally torn asunder this summer. First culprit, of course, was the coronavirus. And really, the coronavirus lockdown, which upset everyone, whether they agreed with it or not. And then the whole situation with George Floyd, and now successive situations involving the police and Black Lives Matter and the protests and how people feel on both sides of the fence. And there is a fence. And I have a lot of concern about some of the language, even people who are commentators, or what I refer to as penguins, some of the language that people are using, which I have actually cautioned against. And one of those terms is civil war, with all the violence, especially in the streets in places like Kenosha or Minneapolis. The impression that you get is that it literally things are hanging by a thread, that we could be in a situation that's really dangerous if we go too many more clicks down the road here in terms of the direction we seem to be headed. So in the second half of this podcast, we'll talk about that a little bit. Well, one of the things I'm going to talk about in this podcast, as you know, is how things are changing. And, you know, it's a serious question. And if you're in business for yourself these days, these issues of change are really significant. And if your legal representation is not thinking strategically, then maybe you should find an attorney that does. And that would be Nathan W. Nelson of Virtus Law. They have offices in Cambridge, Minnesota, Edina, Maplewood, Red Wing, Mendota Heights, and even an office in Dallas, Texas. And Nathan is one of the founders of Virtus Law. So what do they do? Well, they think strategically. Maybe your attorney is thinking one step ahead. Maybe you're thinking a couple of steps ahead, and that's good. But the truth is, things are changing so rapidly, and regulations change, issues, there's all sorts of them. It might not be enough to just think two or three steps ahead. You got to have a strategic, thinking business attorney. For some examples, I would just submit management service agreements is an issue, succession for family-owned businesses, estate planning, partnerships, and of course, asset protection, debt issues, and income tax planning. You need a strategic planner. And I'll tell you something else. I just learned, for example, that in the state of Minnesota, with the executive order on masks, businesses, regardless of how you feel about the mask issue, businesses can be fined, you know, an enormous amount of money, enough to put you out of business if you're not thinking, how does this apply to my business? That's what Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law does, and this is why he is the business attorney you want, because most lawyers really don't give you strategic advice. They'll do what you want them to do, but they're not thinking strategically for you in a way that can help you. So if you're the owner of a growing business, you owe it to yourself to check out Nathan W. Nelson if you want to look at long-term planning and not short-term transactions. Nathan is your guy. Okay, full legal services, strategic planners, fees structured reasonably. Call Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law, 612-888-1000. That's 612-888-1000. Or click on the banner at the top of the page. Virtus Law serves small businesses and their owners. Visit them online at virtuslaw.com. And they have a great interface. You can tell them your deal, and they'll get back to you. Or you can just call Nathan, 612-888-1000, or click on the Virtus Law banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Now, how would you like to save 30% on print cartridges? How would you like to potentially qualify for a free printer for your business? How would you like to get excellent customer service when it comes to print cartridges and keeping the printers operating? You can have great computers, but if you have crappy printers, and if you're buying those expensive store-bought cartridges, your whole business comes to a screeching halt. Cartridge World in Maple Grove can hook you up, because why pay more to print? Free delivery on qualifying orders, free printers for qualifying orders. Cartridge World, 763-420-6632, serving Minnesota from Maple Grove. Or you can click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. I've noticed a return of these stories that we're going to have a civil war, or it's now we've got these militia groups and we've got Black Lives Matter, and people are bringing guns and fireworks and other implements to these protests, and there seems to be a violent bent, as in we're going to smash windows and blow things up and we're going to loot. And that happened recently in Minneapolis. And I will tell you, if you're not from Minneapolis, it was I was pleased to see that what happened in Minneapolis was there was a person who got into an altercation with another person and two men and a woman in Minneapolis, across from the Target Center, it looked like. I'm pretty sure that it was in the parking garage near Target Center. And someone was shot and killed. And so one of the men ran and got away, and was later seen walking down a Nicollet Mall And when the police moved to confront him, he pushed himself into a doorway and shot himself. And this was immediately put out on social media that the police had shot someone again. And within minutes, there were windows broken and looting. A couple of high-end stores in downtown Minneapolis were looted. And this time, the governor called out the National Guard immediately. The mayor immediately deployed resources. And I drove over to St. Paul that night. So they put a curfew in on both St. Paul and Minneapolis at 8 p.m., from 8 to 6 a.m. And I drove over to St. Paul at roughly 10:30, something like that. And it was really interesting because I had to come from the south of the city and go up 100 to 94 East. Well, you couldn't get on it. When you got on 394, which is the feeder highway from the western suburbs into Minneapolis to 94, you had to get on the express lanes, which they've sluiced you onto to the express lanes, and that brought you all the way in, and you couldn't even get downtown. They had used highway department and city trucks and barriers to literally prevent people from, you couldn't even get into downtown Minneapolis at all, which I think is the right thing to do. So there's a couple of themes here, and I'm just gonna say very quickly, I'm very concerned about people using rhetoric like civil war, whether they're writing a piece, and you guys know because I've done a podcast about it. And the implication is these militia groups are militarist in nature. Someone did a post on Facebook and said, I'm very concerned that Trump is going to deputize the militias. Well, he can't do that. Deputizing would be the local sheriff, and I doubt very seriously that if any of those people could ever pass muster to actually become members of a police department or even the National Guard, just in terms of what they are. And of course, I know, and I'm jumping around, but we had a 17-year-old kid that foolishly decided to carry a borrowed AR-15 to a protest. I don't know where his mother was or what she was thinking, but she's apparently just as dumb as he is, and he ended up shooting three people, and, you know, now he's on trial for his life, right? Regardless of whether he's going to get off because it was self-defense or not, his life is essentially ruined for the short term and maybe permanently because of a rash romantic or stupid idea that he was going to protect local businesses. What is happening in Kenosha, not Minneapolis, but what is happening in Kenosha is businesses are, trying to protect their own property. And what's happening is in these protests, small businesses are being destroyed. These are not rich people. These are people who own small businesses. And if you've been in business for yourself, you know damn well that it's one step forward, two steps back. You're always living on the edge at some level and always trying to save your business and pivot. And this is not an easy time for people who are in business for themselves, whether they have a jewelry store, a grocery store, or a clothing store. And I would say, even by extension, the quote-unquote big companies are not having an easy time of it, unless you're Facebook or Amazon or one of those companies, and you're not going to be able to get close enough to one of those companies to do anything to them. And no one's going to do anything to Facebook because that's the end of their access to be able to cajole people into doing things, right? And I don't think commentators even should use the term civil war. And part of the reason is that, you know, if you've studied our actual civil war 100 years ago, the carnage was and will be significant. It won't just be a quick, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to get what we want thing. And I have done podcasts about it because I will tell you, it doesn't matter whether there's a Democrat or Republican president. If it looks like there's going to be something approaching that, if militia groups appear to have reached the point where they are organized to the point of being dangerous, or even Black Lives Matter groups organized to the point of being dangerous, they're going to keep order. And they will keep order with with enough force to be able to do that. Because we can't have anarchy. We just can't have people. We can't have these groups in the streets armed and doing these things. It doesn't matter if you say, well, there should be a rule that people can't bring guns to protest. There should be a rule that the protesters can't smash windows or anything else. They're going to do, these crowds are going to do what they're going to do unless they're stopped. Okay, so that's my own personal feeling about it. They have to present. If you want to protest, fine, but you can't break windows and ruin things. And if you do, then there's going to be, you know, immediate consequences. The thing is, now I don't think there's too many people that disagree with that, except for the people that want to create anarchy for political purposes. And I think that's what's going on. I don't think this has anything to do really with protesting police brutality. And again, it's important to say, yes, there is some level of systemic racism in police departments, but I don't think anybody wants to see a situation where businesses and people's livelihoods are destroyed. The concept of riot is a viable means of protest when there are no other means available. But, you know, I will refer everyone to the movie Gangs of New York. And when I first saw the movie The Gangs of New York, I thought, this is nonsense. This is a complete dramatization. I got mad. And then I read Herbert Asbury's book, The Gang of New York. So Herbert Asbury was an AP reporter back in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s. And one of the things that he contributed was he wrote all these books, the gangs of Chicago, the gangs of New Orleans, the gangs of San Francisco, the gangs of New York. And what's interesting about that movie is, aside from the romantic and dramatic play of the lives of gang members, at the Five Points in New York City. You know, that could be conjecture, but the backdrop of the things that were happening was not. In fact, it was called the draft riots because what they were doing is they were pulling Irishmen and German and Dutchmen right off the ships and immigrants of all kinds right off the ships and plugging them right into the Union Army and sending them off to war. Now, some of these guys didn't care. The Germans, I don't think, really cared that much, and I don't think the Irish did either. They were happy to do it, I guess. And that's a joke. Some of them didn't even know what was happening. And what started as a protest against the draft, and this was Lincoln's draft to get soldiers into the Union Army. And as an aside, this is one of the reasons that the United States government defeated the rebellion in the 1860s, because we had the government had access, the federal government had access to the ports of New York and immigration, and was able to bring in these immigrants in large numbers. So we had an almost unlimited supply of soldiers in the North versus the South, because we had this unbridled immigration in the United States. And so, as depicted in the movie, the nativists, these were the people that were against immigration at the time, and against the draft, also jumped in, and they were violent. So these gangs, at this time, the city of New York was a burgeoning population, and according to some of the details from Herbert Asbury's book, which I don't remember because in detail, because it's been a long time since I read it and I didn't know I was going to talk about it, was that the population of New York was becoming large enough that the police, a very small police department, was simply not able to handle it. And so you had these ghettos and these, you know, really literally hovels down in the Five Points where all these gangsters operated. And then, of course, the wealthy, so-called wealthy people, actually the wealthy people, and this is in the 1850s and 60s, lived up on the north of that, on the east side, where they still live, right? The rest of the city was literally anarchy, and run by these gangs. And some of them were so violent, there was one gang that had a menu that they would hand out to people, basically a business card that had their menu on it. Kill someone, $7. you know, all sorts of mayhem, beating them up, $3. And so it was a menu of services that you could say, hey, I want number one, and they would take care of it. And they were brutal, and they were horrible people, basically criminals. And they decided that they were going to start, for whatever reason, they had a gang fight in the movie that ended up it turning into a riot. And these were the draft riots. Well, I never paid any attention to the draft riots. I just thought, oh, they just had decided they were going to have a draft riot because they didn't want to go off to war. And again, being completely unprepared, I don't have time to Google the purpose of the draft riots or the causes of the draft riots. I just know from Herbert Asbury's book that it spilled over, and the high point, the climax of the movie, in the midst of this gang fight in the Five Points, the Navy shelled that area. And I said, that's nonsense. That never happened. Oh, yes, it did happen. Order was, so what happened was these guys basically did the same thing some of the people in the present time frame have done. They broke into the police station. They took over the police station downtown in Manhattan, and there were no troops available. And they were I think they called out the West Point class to come down, and they managed to get hold of somebody in the Navy. And the Navy shelled Battery Park, or that area around the Five Points, and that is what ended the draft riots. I'm sure that's butchered history, but it lets you know how crazy things got during the Civil War. So, if people are upset because the economy is, in question in the current time frame because of the shutdown and Corona and all these other things, if you think things are bad now, add a Civil War, and there's no way that our enemies, Russia and China in particular, isn't going to take advantage of an American Civil War. We just cannot have this. And people should stop talking about it. They should stop using that terminology. You want to use street violence? That's what it is. That's literally not a term of art. It's literally what we have. And I also think the other theme, aside from the fact that I have said on numerous occasions in these podcasts, we are on the cusp of major change. We are, a change of epoch in the United States and across the world. One of the features of this is the seeming breakdown of the city structures. And I don't think it's too far of a leap to say that the way Minneapolis in particular handled the George Floyd riots, the way that some of these other cities have handled riots and violence in the streets. Portland comes to mind. I'm sorry, I'm not joining the Trump tirade against the mayor of Portland or any of that, but I think the way that cities are handling these protests has caused people to question, and I don't mean Republicans, because I don't think there are any Republicans living in the city of Portland or Seattle or Minneapolis or any place else in the urban core. They're all Democrats. So they're all liberal thinking people, if you'll pardon the use of that term. And I think what you have are people voting now with their feet. This is real, this flight from the city. The number of people moving out of New York City, the number of people moving out of Minneapolis and St. Paul is increasing, and they are moving to Otsego. And I'm talking about places where I live, which is to the north of the city of Minneapolis and St. Paul, North Metro, as we call it, which is 15, 20, sometimes 35, 40 miles out. Which for Minneapolis and St. Paul, which is not a Chicago, is a considerable distance. Even in Chicago, 35 miles south of the city is pretty considerable and still rural. People are moving, and they're moving to Otsego and Elk River and Maple Grove and other places, and they're paying top dollar to get out. That's significant, and I think it speaks to the management of these cities. This is probably an indication of the new normal, if you will, or the new reality that we are moving into. Companies are getting rid of their office spaces downtown because they don't need them, because they've realized we can have people work from home. Many of these companies that have laid off people are not rehiring because we don't know where we're going to be in 5 years, right? And I think that's, this is all really significant stuff that's all tied into these many different things that are happening. So I mentioned that people are moving out of the city. Have you ever thought about buying maybe a piece of property that has kind of a ramshackle house on it that can be remodeled, and maybe you get a lot more land? Well, what are you going to do about remodeling it? You need a great contractor that can really see it for what it can be and can sit down with you with integrity and explain what can be done and how it can be done so that you can have, you know, a really nice complex working from home, living on 10 acres, let's say, way up north of the cities. So Randy Grabo is your guy at Whitetail Builders, and what they do is they bring dreams into reality, right? They're online at whitetailbuildersinc.com. Leave your name and number there to tell them your dreams. They can help you out, or you can just call Randy Grabo, who loves talking to people about their dreams. 612-282-8801, 612-282-8801. Whitetail's focused on the details, and they will be with you every step of the way. Whitetail Builders, helping you construct your dreams. You're going to love the results. Well, in the next couple of days, I'm going to have to start cranking out another newsletter for the BobDavisPodcast.com, sponsored by Supply Solutions. Learn more about that in the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, The Bob Line. You can sign up for it by going to the BobDavisPodcast.com. If you're hitting it on a phone, you scroll all the way to the bottom, and you're going to see a picture of Mobile Podcast Command down there at some point, and you're going to see this thing that says sign up for the Bob Line. You enter your name, your email address, and you hit sign me up. You will get an email that says, do you want to get the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter? That is a spam filter. Once you sign up, you're good to go. You're going to be getting the newsletter. Please sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, because I'm going to be doing more with it in the near future. All right. Thanks for subscribing to the Bob Davis Podcast right off the page, iTunes, or listening on Spotify. If you have an Android, I'm everywhere. Okay. Google Podcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, blah, 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 blah. But I think that Spotify is probably the best platform for Android devices, and I appreciate the likes and shares and following on Facebook and Twitter, and I appreciate your donations from Mobile Podcast Command at BobDavisPodcast.com. Okay, great night, beautiful night. I'm just going to hang, drink some coffee, and try not to get too excited about things going on, because this too shall pass, hopefully. Thanks for listening to Podcast 951, the Bob Davis Podcasts.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and four parts without...